definitely there is some sort of colorism in our respective African countries. But at the same time, though, I don't think it drove our parents' cultures like it does drive us here.
I have to agree. I think I have to agree with him, because when I lived in Africa, I think there is a level of, hey, you know, there's light skin and dark skin, but I don't think they take it to a whole other level. Granted, I did live there when I was young,
right,
super young, and we traveled around, and I guess the term out there is, oh, she's the mulatto, right?
Yeah.
And anyways, but right. So it grouped me with all the other kids that were mulatto,
right?
But here, I think there's growing up here, I became even more aware of the colorism because of how prominent it is. I mean, it's everywhere. It's in the music we watch. It's on every blog. Everybody's talking about it. And I think it's deeply rooted in here or in America, especially in the Black community here, because of what they went through. It's even exemplified here a little bit more. It's magnified a little bit more because of history.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
I disagree, because colorism can also be related to tribalism. Because there are certain tribes within African culture who you have fairer skin. So I think one of the things with tribalism is that they associate color to a tribe. And when you are not in, you're in a certain tribe and you're a different color, it's weird.
Welcome to First Gens. This is a podcast about first generation Americans and filling in the blanks beside the hyphen. We're back. This is Preen.
We are indeed Black. We are Black. I meant to say back, but Freudian slip.
Oh my God.
Hi there. This is season 3 Sky Wilson, apparently is Black and back.
Yes, we are here. We're back for another season. And this season, we're going to be talking about colorism. So we've been kind of teasing this, you know, for a while. And we really have always, ever since season 1, when we became, you know, fixated on this podcast and we're trying to figure out different topics, colorism was always something that we wanted to discuss. So when we decided to get into it for season 3, we really realized that we could do an entire series on this topic. So, like, Sky, how exactly would you define colorism?
Well, thank you so much, Perrine. I'm really glad that I sound like Kermit. I sound like Kermit the Frog.
Yes, you do.
So by the way, y'all, I'm just like testing out my NPR voice and temperament.
Okay.
For season 3, because I listened to the trailer for this season and I was just doing a lot. And as a Sophister Ratchet person, I really want to make sure that my Sophis is coming out, uh-huh, and not just the Ratch. So
okay,
you're going to get Sophis Sky.
Yes.
Anywho, according to Sophis Sky, say that 5 times fast.
Sophis Sky.
So essentially, you're going to hear a lot of different definitions of what colorism means this season, and they're all correct. I'll let you know when I don't hear one that is correct. It differs from person to person and culture to culture, but I think that the overarching theme is the upliftment of folks who are lighter skinned or fair skinned / closer to whiteness,
yeah,
at the expense and discrimination of folks who are darker skinned, or even, you know, at sometimes folks who are kind of in like the middle gray area as well. And it's really the greatest, in my opinion, the greatest export of Eurocentrism and colonialism and globalism. And I really mean great in the terms of like expansiveness, not in terms of it being a good thing.
Right.
Just want to make sure that everyone understands.
Not at all is it good at all. And so what we also had to just make sure that we're being transparent and clear about is that Sky and I are both on like the middle of the spectrum of light to dark in a sense, but closer to the light scale. And so we would be remiss if we did not state that and also just realize what our privilege is within this entire series and within this entire, you know, topic and issue as we identify it, because we know and we've seen and we've experienced that those who are darker of any culture, it doesn't have to be, you know, our culture of being Black and being African, it's within the entire world that they are more oppressed and are more negatively affected. So it's very important for us to address that, state that, and kind of show where we're coming from. You know, again, so this doesn't necessarily pertain to us in certain ways, but as we can see, is that colorism is something that affects many cultures. So it's important for us to talk about cross-cultural colorism and to basically kind of do somewhat of an excursion and go to different ethnic groups and different cultural groups, geographically speaking, and kind of hear from them and hear from their perspective. So you're going to hear from our African roundtable in a little bit, but throughout this season, we're going to also include a South Asian roundtable. We're going to talk to those of an Indian heritage and Indian culture. We're also going to talk to West Indians, and we're going to talk more, you know, relating to the Caribbean culture. We're going to have a roundtable with our Latinx community, with our East Asian community, and we could not be like more excited to just really have all of these voices and cultures represented.
So let's get to Africa, y'all.
Africa.
I don't know what she's doing.
I'm Mina, and I am Egyptian Liberian American. There we go.
I'm Betty. I am Sierra Leonean British American. Sierra Leonean American. I like Sierra Leonean American. Sorry.
Emmanuel, and I am Ghanaian American with a hyphen and Canadian in between.
I am Baruch Kasau. I am Ethiopian and I live in America.
Okay. Ooh, see, I like that. That little hyphen. Okay. Mm. All right, so how would you all define colorism?
I guess I'll start. So with colorism, I define it as, it's similar to a caste system, right? You have your light, medium brown. You have your red bone, your yellow bone. You have your dark. You have blurple. You have black. It's putting color with race, but at the same time, it is also prejudice against color.
Yeah, I think it's discrimination against, based on the shade of color you are within, I guess, your respective, you know, ethnic group. It's funny. I told my wife the best way to think about it, it's racism within your own group of people, basically.
That's very interesting to hear everyone say, right? But I believe that colorism is just something that just happens because of my experience with it, right? So I know that it happens with every culture based on what I've seen, based on what I've experienced, based on what I've heard about, and so on. So I do think that colorism is just a way for people to like either identify or segregate themselves or form small groups within their immediate culture.
I like that. Did you know that their colorism is technically not even a word?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, colorism is just the new version or the extension of racism, honestly. And I feel like the new generation would just keep creating new words to just segregate and actually like separate people instead of uniting us. And so that's what I consider it.
All right, can you guys describe an early memory you had when you became aware of your complexion?
I first became aware of my color when I first got introduced to my mother's side of the family. They were more on the Liberian side and the darker complected people. And when we came around, my cousins always made fun of us and they always sang to us something about black is beautiful, white is whatever, in yellow, and I guess we were yellow. But they made fun of us in that manner. But prior to that, it was just me and my mom and my dad, and both of my parents are biracial, so they look like me. So I didn't have any issues there. And I, as a young child, I was closer to my dad's family, and my dad's mom is black, but my dad's dad is, he identifies as white because he's Egyptian and Lebanese. So I grew up with my grandfather. So I knew I didn't look like them, but it was never an issue. It was never anything. But when I got closer to my Liberian family, it became very obvious that I was different. So that was really my first interaction with what color I really was.
Wow, that's interesting. I appreciate you sharing that. Mm-hmm. Like, when I'm being honest, colorism, racism, it's, I guess I just kind of walked into racism. Like, but I was never exposed. Like, my family, we were, like, if you look at my family, six of us, including my mom and dad, but we're all like different shades. And so to us, it was like, we didn't talk about race or diversity. And so when I came to the US, like, when we talked about color, it's like black, white, green, yellow. We just never associated with people. And so I grew up in DC, so it was very multicultural. So I literally seen every shade in my street. And I think I learned more about colorism and racism when I was in school, but I was never in an environment where it was based off color, but it was more based on like where you're from. Like, oh, you're Ethiopian. Okay. Like, you're Hispanic. And so, because I feel like every single race has almost every single shade, in my opinion. And so it was just, so color, I started getting into it from the educational aspect, never on a personal.
Yeah. I think my first experience realizing that being dark-skinned, and I'm talking about like in the 90s, was not cool. And I mean, it's really had to do with pop culture, to be honest with you. Very similar story with you, BK. I mean, my parents are from Ghana, and my whole family is dark. I mean, but I think I might be the darkest in my family compared to my dad, my mom, and my two sisters and my brother. But it was never something that we ever even talked about, or it wasn't something that I even had, you know, any type of insecurity about or anything like that. But when you were in grade school and, you know, you're listening, watching BET, the music videos, I can't remember that show that came on after school at 6 o'clock. They did the top 10 music
106
videos.
106
in Park. Yeah. And you hear people talking about light skinned brother, blah, 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 blah. And that's when it became, oh, you got to be light skinned to be kind of cool, or to be perceived as cool. And it's really funny now, because Get Out, that movie by Ryan Coogler, they made a comment about, oh yeah, dark skin's in now, right? And you can kind of see like the melanin movement kind of taking place in effect now. So now it's cool to be dark again. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I do think both of what you guys said about the definition of colorism is very true. I think it's more meant to divide than it is anything, right? Because at the end of the day, we grew up not aware in our household. We became aware of our color once we stepped out of our household, and people wanted to put us in certain groups or boxes, right?
Exactly. I will say my first introduction is similar to Mina, far as colorism. Your cousins are always going to be your first bullies, right? They're always going to be your first best friends, but at the same time, your first bullies. Exactly. And I will never forget one of my cousins way back when we were really young. It was before my sister was born, I think. And she said something about milkman's baby. And I was kind of like, huh? And so she was like, why are you so light? And I'm like, I'm not light. I'm black. And it took a long time for me to even reflect on that memory, because I like suppressed it. I didn't talk about it much until when you see a picture and you know my sister is my sister, but she's darker than me. And so you kind of say, oh, well, the dark skinned one, going back to Sierra Leone, the darker sister or the lighter sister. And so I always considered myself brown. My mom was brown. My dad was brown. My sister's brown. It was just different shades. I didn't think of it as anything of a division. Yeah. We were all brown. And just like you said, it is a division outside of your household. And that is how they address you outside of your household. Within your household, it was never a problem.
I think it's very interesting. You're talking about how when you guys saw like 106 in Park and how light skin was in the move back, like it was the thing. And I feel like nowadays it's like, I feel like every race becomes a trend, or like colors become the trend. You know, like if you're light skin, like we're good for the fall season. You know, if you're dark skin, you're good in the winter. And it's like, I'm just like, but how far are we going to go? You know, like, and it's just, it's unfortunate, but I feel like it's not even like in a relationship. It's not even a relationship anymore. It's more from a monetary perspective now, I feel like we're looking at it. And especially when it comes to markets, like, you know, it's like, oh, when it comes to Victoria's Secret, you know, it's like, oh, you see like white models in there. And then it's a particular model. It's kind of like, it's this whole different race. And so it's just very, it's different.
Oh, yeah. It's like, definitely it's a trend. I mean, the wheel keeps turning. Capitalism, people figure out how to make money off of it. I mean, there's a reason why, I mean, makeup brands didn't have certain complexions of skin in their lineup. But now, if you're a makeup brand and you don't have almost every complexion of skin in your lineup, you are automatically not going to be considered by most shoppers. And most people are going to consider you to be, you know, the most negative thing on the planet. And so it's a PR hit almost. It's a PR nightmare. Yes. So the palettes now, I mean, because the only reason I know this is because my wife watches makeup videos and does makeup tutorials and everything. And there's one girl who lives in Australia, but she's from Sudan, so her complexion is very dark, and she does a lot of the testing for darker complexion women. And she even made a comment about how like she was not able to find palettes that would match her skin tone like 2 years ago. But now, if you don't have it, it's almost like you're missing out on the revenue earning potential, right? And so you have to have it now.
There's a plethora of variation now.
Oh yeah.
I think also with colorism, how people, they kind of put together, if you're light skinned, you're in your feelings all the time. And be like, oh, nah, man, chill, he's light skinned. Or if you're dark skinned, you're proud, you're prideful. And so I think it's crazy how the trends, hip hop has definitely set the trend. When you hear in the music, I want a light skinned red bone, you know, or I want a dark skinned girl from Ethiopia who's light skinned, you know. So I think that it's so funny how growing up, I didn't associate my skin color with how I acted. I just took it and went with it. But like I said, cousins are your best friends. Oh, you acting real bougie right now. You feeling yourself. You feeling your color, huh? You know? And so it's like a reality check. Like, am I acting bougie? Am I Drake light skin? I never classified myself until somebody classified it for me. Somebody told me my complexion, yeah. Right? I never knew that I was in between the shades of my parents. I knew I was a mixture of my parents, daddy, mommy, mix, right. But I didn't know that I was the in-between shade and that I fare more of my mom's side of the family. Well, actually, my mom doesn't even fare with her side of the family, but I fare more with my mom. Yeah. So I didn't know the role to play. It's like you're caught in the middle, but then again, you're just being yourself. And then somebody calls you out and you start to check yourself. You start to look in the mirror, you know, is Ambi for me? Should I start, you know, using that soap to make the spots go away? And then, you know, you have another person come up to you and they're like, oh, well, what cream do you use? You know? And so I didn't.
The cream.
Yeah, the cream. So get there. But I didn't. Being brown skin was kind of like, I'm just living my best life until somebody checks me and says it. And then I got to go back and compare and contrast. You know, it's like, here's your reality check. You don't fit in the group or you fit in a certain group. Mm-hmm. So
it's funny you said that because people ask me, what are you? Like, they ask, what are you? I said, what do you mean? It's like, you ain't black. You're not white. You seem kind of Hispanic. Mm-hmm. Like, you're yellow. I remember this one time I was in class and this girl said, you're just exotic, you know, you don't have no cuts like an animal. And I was kind of like,
an animal?
Like, I was kind of like, I don't know if I could take it as a compliment because it's not a neutral color.
Thank you.
Exotic. I appreciate you, but I was kind of like, I'm human. When people ask me, what are you? And I just tell them I'm human because like, it's an ignorant question. Instead of you saying like, where are you from? Or like, what's your background? It's like, you got to be something particular. You know what I mean? And especially when you're in between stage, they get mad because they don't know what you are and they can't categorize you with something particular.
I always get the, I can't quite put my finger on it. I'm like, can't put your finger on what? What exactly can you not put? Right? So, but I get I'm Ethiopian all the time. People think I'm Ethiopian all the time.
I'm not going to lie. The first time I sat next to Mina and I went home, I was like, yeah, this Ethiopian chick sitting next to me.
But I'm not, right? Yeah. But that's a compliment, I guess. Ethiopian people, I believe, are beautiful people, you know. Yeah, but
I think they're all beautiful people.
Right, but I'm not.
Guesses with me.
I'm not at all. But I think there's been. I think I'm confused as to what color I really am. To be honest with y'all, I don't think I'm light skinned. Yet people call me light all the time, and I'm just like, no. Like, I don't know what you see. Like, I see just a shade of brown, right?
Why do you think that if someone were to call you light-skinned, you would be...
I'm almost offended.
Why?
Maybe because I got bullied about being light-skinned. I don't know. It could be that. But I think I've seen light-skinned people, and I'm not... that light. So I think people try to look at me like I'm crazy when we're in a group setting and they try to call me light skin. I'm like, wait, time out. I'm not light skin. Like, what are you talking about? Right. And then they were like, come here, you're lighter than me. I said, yeah, I'm a shade of or so lighter than you. But apparently I'm color. I don't know. I don't think I'm colorblind, but I don't really consider myself a light skinned person. I think I'm like a caramel or caramel or whatever complexion you want to call it. I feel like I identify more with darker shades than I do with lighter shades.
So I feel like it has to do with the stigma derived from colonialism.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes, you know, slavery. I mean, the brown paper bag test. If you are a light skin, you are acceptable to work, to not do the extraneous labor type jobs. If you were dark skin, you had to do the field work and everything. So that song Jay-Z even had, he's like, but he is, and I'm not going to say the N word, but he says, light skin, dark skin, you're still right. And I feel like for people who see you, because I agree with what you're saying, because there's going to be different shades. So my son is mixed. And I guarantee you my next child is probably not going to have the same skin complexion as him. And it's funny because I can see my wife's side of the family. They're all looking. Like, oh, yeah, all your baby. I'm like, no. See, we could get one that's a darker shade. We could get one that's lighter. You just don't know. But I feel like it's because the idea of what society has deemed to be acceptable all the way from way, way back when. That's why people are saying, oh, yeah, you're light-skinned. Even us, I mean, we get brainwashed into thinking, one or the other. Today it's dark-skinned. Yesterday it was light-skinned. Tomorrow it's going to be blue. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we get brainwashed into thinking that that's what is acceptable. And I feel like that's why people are trying to put you in that box.
Yeah, well, I don't want to be put in that box ever. I just want to be me. I mean, my brother's even lighter than me. He has lighter eyes. If Betty, did I show you my nephew? Yeah. My nephew's pure white.
Yeah.
My nephew has blonde hair, blue eyes. But it's funny. My brother is married to a Caucasian girl. However, the blue eyes run in my mom's dad's family. So genetics is weird, but I just feel like I'm just regular brown.
I think about children when they're born, and this might just be, I'm not sure if this is a Sierra Leonean thing. I don't know how it applies to other cultures, but when a baby is born, the first thing they do is look at the ear.
Yeah.
They're like, the ears will tell the color.
And they start to make a big deal about it.
The ears will tell the color. And I will never forget one of my nieces were born, and they were saying that, you know, if you look at her ears, you can tell who she looks like. You can tell what color she's going to take after. She won't be dark as her dad. She'll be fair-skinned like her mom. And I was like,
right,
and
we start
it's right when babies are newborns, too. I'm like, it's a newborn. I can't tell the difference who he looks like, what they're going to grow up to be. And so we start at an early age doing it.
Trying to figure out what this child is going to even look like before they're even a day old. That's terrible.
What?
Because they did it to my nephew a lot. He's just going to change. Well, he's almost two.
Definitely there is some sort of colorism in our respective African countries. But at the same time, though, I don't think it drove our parents' cultures like it does drive us here.
I have to agree. I think I have to agree with him, because when I lived in Africa, I think there is a level of, hey, you know, there's light skin and dark skin, but I don't think they take it to a whole other level. Granted, I did live there when I was young,
right,
super young, and we traveled around, and I guess the term out there is, oh, she's the mulatto, right?
Yeah.
And anyways, but right. So it grouped me with all the other kids that were mulatto,
right?
But here, I think there's growing up here, I became even more aware of the colorism because of how prominent it is. I mean, it's everywhere. It's in the music we watch. It's on every blog. Everybody's talking about it. And I think it's deeply rooted in here or in America, especially in the Black community here, because of what they went through.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a never ending subject, and it just becomes even worse than what it really like. I mean, it becomes a thing now that we even have to be, that we have to talk about, and still, we know that is a thing, right? Everybody experiences this thing, but I think it's even exemplified here a little bit more. It's magnified a little bit more because of history.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
I disagree, because colorism can also be related to tribalism, because there are certain tribes within African culture who you have fairer skin. So for us, when we have Fulas, they're the lightest because they are a mixture, all right? So the Fula people, you have Mende, you have Timini, you can see like brown skin in them. And then you have some tribes like the Frobe tribes, which are like the resettled slaves. So you can get a blended mixture of it. I think with my family, especially, one of the things that was always asked, because my mom's mother is Mende and my dad's family, they're full-blown Mende, but my mom's dad was Creole Fula. And so one of the things I always used to get growing up was, is your mom full Fula? And I'd be like, I no, because I didn't know about that part. But it was because of the color that they saw that they were saying, that's why her mom looks the way she looks. That's why she doesn't speak Mende, not knowing that my mom's mom was full-blown Mende and my mom hears Mende. So I think one of the things with tribalism is that they associate color to a tribe. And when you are not in, you're in a certain tribe and you're a different color, it's weird. It's like you're not, so you must have some kind of mixture. Your tribes must have mixed somewhere down the road. And I also think that when we talk about African culture and we talk about tribalism, that there was a ranking system before the colonizers came. Because you already saw with kingdoms how the Ashanti people, for instance, there was already a ranking system. All right. So even with the Mende people, there was always a ranking system. So within.
But would you say it was based off of essentially, I mean, because I understand what you're saying. I think that was more so based on how you identified where this person was from and what group of people they were associated with. But I feel like for here, it's more used as a mechanism to say this person is better than you because they look this way.
Yes. I definitely think that it was more of a ranking for caste. Like, okay, we know the darker skin, they're going to work hard because they're used to the sun, right? So slavery comes around, these people are going to work extremely hard. We're going to put them outside. Now, the lighter ones, they're not used to the sun, so we're going to put them in the house. Whereas when you think about African culture, yes, our dark skin, you know, tribes, they were out, they were the farmers. They were out there in the field. Our lighter ones were the domesticated ones, you know? And I think it was just, you used the word last time, I don't know, exacerbated by colonialism. And they just took it a step further.
Yeah, and I mean, I do know there's countries like Rwanda right now that are going through civil wars based off of skin color. So,
right.
I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I do feel like you use the word exacerbated. Mm-hmm. I do think it's exacerbated in Western civilization.
I think that's interesting because I feel like in Africa, you literally have every single shade.
Oh, yeah.
You feel me? And so colorism really didn't take the form it does now until we came to America. Like now, was it always there? But yes, but it was from a different context. It wasn't from a level of power. It was more like, mm-hmm. you're just different because like whichever side of the country you're from, that's really just it. But I feel like as we came to the U.S., you know, colorism became more, I feel like it was related to power. And because like, the lighter you are, the more powerful you become. Because based on slave owners and slaves, when they sleep together, you're like the lighter complexity, you work in the house. And I feel like now it's like the lighter you become, the lighter you become. And I think one of the reasons I think is because this is my personal perception when it comes down to spiritual aspect too. Why is Jesus always white in every single picture? You felt like
my Jesus is black.
I don't know about like, white Jesus.
And I mentioned that because kind of like we all know he's black based on historical facts, but it is depicted as if like he was white. And with Jesus also equals power. You feel me? And so it's kind of like we don't think about it. But as kids, when we teach kids, like when it comes to prayer and stuff like that, psychologically, that's what they think. And so growing up, it's like, oh, the lighter you are, the better you are, the more connected you are on a spiritual level, the more power you have, because all the white people are in power. All the black people are slaves or they're in jail. And so when colorism did start and where racism did start, it became more validation rather than like as opposing the whole context. So
that's where the white savior complex started.
Oh, yes.
So skin bleaching, I definitely think that is a byproduct of the colonialism of Africa, because I think, and then also I think part of it has to do with African slaves who went back to Africa, right, as well. I grew up in my house, and I think my mom had some products that she probably used, and at the time, but that's like the brainwashing thinking, like we all talked about. I mean, the light skin, the dark skin, and we've all grown up to think a certain way based on what society tells us we're supposed to think. And for African women, especially West African women, the idea is if you are more fair-skinned, you are more attractive. So, I mean, and believe me, everybody on the face of the earth wants to be found attractive. And so you're going to do what you do to be that. What bothers me about the Black China thing, though, is that stuff is like bad for you. And they know it's bad. And why go to Lagos, Nigeria, of all places, to market that?
Well, because she's probably going to Lagos, Nigeria because she did her research and knows that they want to buy it.
Boom.
So that's probably why. But when it comes to bleaching in the African community, I think, I mean, just sitting at this round table and having this conversation, I'm seeing how far removed I am. Okay. That's the first thing I'm realizing, because I do see and I'm gathering that I'm not looking at it from a holistic perspective because I grew up here primarily, right? But yeah, there are levels to this colorism thing, right? Mm-hmm. But in the African community, I have, and I'm going to tell myself here really quickly, I have literally like stalked this girl's page because I'm like, I swear she was not that color just like a couple of years ago. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, wait a minute. Like, you are lighter than me now. Like, what did you do? Nice. Right? I had to go through, I mean, so many different photos. Cause I mean, she took almost all of them down, but like I found a couple. I was like, I know I'm not crazy, but she was a friend of my cousin's. Right. So it's absolutely real. And I think to me, someone who would probably never use that, not because I mean, I know there are lighter skinned people than I am. Right. Like we've already established, but, I have no desire to be light, right? So,
right. You didn't choose this. You didn't
right.
wake up one day.
So, but yeah, no. In the African community, I think that's our way of showing how colorism is a big thing.
So,
that's for sure.
I will say, far as bleaching, I would say it's not new to me. It's something that I've known about ever since I was in elementary school. Mm-hmm. And I heard my parents talk about it. And one of the things is, you know, you go back to Africa and they ask you, you know, they'll say in Creole, which cream you to use? And I'm like, shea butter, you know, cocoa, the same stuff regular. You have here. So one of the things that I will say is when I talk to my cousins back home and they always ask me, you know, can you bring this? Can you bring that? Sure, sure. Can you bring me cream? No. Why? Because it's harmful. It's harmful for your skin. I will say I do not know any of my cousins on my mom's side, nope, I take that back. I know one who has just transformed her whole life, you know? And I will say that she herself says, I regret it. And I was like, well, stop. But it's like it's an addiction, you know what I mean?
It is.
It's something like they want to see those results. But at the end of the day, when you look at your knuckles, you still black.
Can they revert
when you
back?
Look at your lips, yeah,
if they
color,
stop?
Their color does come back.
It has
It looks horrible. It damages your skin. And, you know, she would always say, well, I have bumps on my face. You have bumps on your face because you bleach. You know, what makes your face smooth? I'm like, oil, just shea butter. You know, the stuff that you have from Mother Earth is what you need to be using. Right. But I always tell them, I'm like, at the end of the day, I always say, well, look, Yuan, like, look at your hands. You're black. You're going to wash that cream off and you're never going to be able to keep it on because you're black.
Yeah, it looks pretty bad, doesn't it?
You need to accept that. And so it hurts going back and you see that. I haven't seen any advertisements like billboards in Sierra Leone for it. But I know that a lot of people use it. Even in the Greensboro community, I'm going to tell on myself, I will stare you down. I will stare you down because I know if I saw you 6 months ago and you were not that color, you done upped your game on the bleach, okay? So it's definitely hard knowing that back home, and maybe they say ignorance is bliss because they don't know about the harms because they don't portray that. They portray a lifestyle of it. So I'm telling on myself again, Bob Risky. I love Bob Risky. You guys know who Bob Risky is? I just introduced Perrine to Bob Risky. So Bob Risky.
Google Bob Risky.
So Bob Risky, the one that I showed. I'm obsessed. So Bob Risky is a transgendered male and he's trans into female. And Bob was a dark-skinned, little skinny boy. Now he is a light-skinned woman with lace fronts snatched from the gods. Lace fronts and light skin with butt and boobs. And it's so crazy to me because this transformation happened overnight. And Bob Risky, Black China, and Denisha, they were all together in Lagos. And I'm not going to lie, I watched the whole entire 2-hour live feed when Bob was like, we're Black China. And I was just like, how crazy is this that they have fans? And then me included. I'm just included because Bob has an attitude. But how crazy is it that they have people following behind like, Bob, I love you. I want to grow up and be like you. I, in no shape and form, want to be like Bob. But I like Bob's attitude, okay? I ain't going to lie. But I told Perrine, I said, it's crazy to me that he comes from, and how the changes happen and how people, all they see is the color. All they see is Bob is a light-skinned woman with golden locks now. Yeah. If we don't have the access and these are our idols, that's going to be the look that they're promoting.
Yeah. That's definitely true. I was actually reading something and it's talking about in Jamaica. It's part of Africa, in my opinion. But in Jamaica's talk, they have this thing called it's a term called browning now, which is like, it's literally bleaching your skin. And they say that's because, like we talked about earlier, about colonialism, when they came and they start sleeping with their wives, with the slaves, and then that kid that was in between, he had power. And so now it's like Jamaica, or if you go to West Africa, all the people in power are light skin. And everybody gets in the bottom, it's like dark skin. And so seeing that, people's like, hey, look, if I need to be successful, or it's not even if I want to be successful, but like if I want to get an opportunity, I probably should be light skin. Right. So what can I do to be light skin? And the other context, kind of look at social media. I feel like media is the greatest impact. Like, the people don't even see white people. They wouldn't even know white people existed unless they seen it, to be honest with you. I mean, I've seen white people on TV, but I really didn't know there was a such thing as white people and stuff like that until I came to the U.S. Like, just to be very frank. Like,
welcome.
Because back home, it's kind of like, we've seen every single shade, but like that whole race and all that stuff, like, no. Like, I'm just kind of like, cool. Like, and when I came, I was like, you are another human being. That's just how I looked at him. Like, and they're like, oh, you black. I said, I'm human. Like, and I'm from Ethiopia. So you're like, you're African. I'm Ethiopian. Like, that's how I identify myself.
Nah, bro, in case you didn't know, Africa's a country.
like, it's crazy because people don't really, I feel like it's just so unfortunate that we're trying to like change ourselves. And like I said, we do come back at the end of the day. Like, the way our body is made, it don't matter how much stuff you put on it, nature will bring you back to what you're supposed to be.
God didn't make any mistakes.
And And it's funny that you said that, because I feel like I don't think we truly are taught when it comes to self-love and self-appreciation. And we're so focused on trying to compare to the next person, especially when it comes to TV. And it's like, and half them people on TV and social media, it's like, that's not how they are 24/7. And I don't think everybody knows that either. Yeah. So it's kind of like they're trying to be like them and change themselves. And it's very unfortunate.
I call it the trap, the social media trap.
I would say because everybody's woke now, right? everybody's woke on social media. I would say that there is more representation, but I don't think there's enough. Like, when I say I don't think there's enough, I want to flip through every page and be like, plot out, you got your variation of colors. Like, if I'm going to order some panties, I want them in the dark form, nude form, medium form. I want them all colors. And so I think that they're still working on it. I think that representation can be subjective, too, because if all you see are people like you, you're going to say, hey, you know, there's representation. But if you're aware and you notice around you, not everybody looks like you. My sister and I, we're two different shades of color. I can sometimes find my shade in what she gets for makeup, and she can sometimes find her shade. But most times, she buys for me, I buy for her, because we're on two different, she's in London, I'm here. So it's easier to find her shade actually here than it is sometimes in London. So, representation, not for everybody. I would say it's subjective. It's where you see, what you follow, who you talk to, and who you associate with. I think about far as my friends. So my closest group of friends, I've realized that they're all first gens. They're all first gens. And if they're not a first gen, they have some kind of cultural context. And it's not because of, I just don't like white people or anything. It's more of a, and I do have white friends, but it's more of, they've been assimilated with Black culture or with African culture or with Hispanic culture. So they have that cultural depth, and I can find something that relates. We talk about colorism in, I have a friend who is Hispanic, and she is on the lighter end of the Hispanic spectrum. And we talked about one time we were in grad school in a class, and we were just talking about how people just don't get it. How they see our name on paper, and when we come in for class, they're like, whoa, you're a different shape. You're a different color. I did not expect that. And so what was different from her Hispanic from the next Hispanic? What was different from my African from the next African? So I think it's media, the way it portrays it, it's subjective. The way you see colorism is subjective. It's just in the environment that you're in.
Well, to me, it's I definitely do agree with you. I think it's also a contextual in the aspect of, I think every race is represented in media. It's just a different context. When it comes to Black people, it's always crime. When it comes to immigrants, it's always, when it comes to like Hispanics, it's always immigrants. It's unfortunate. When it comes to aliens, it's always, when it comes to like carry out, or when it comes to like mixed martial art. When it comes to white people, it's in Jesus, or it's in power, or it's in superhero. And so I think it's just like the context in which we represent each other. And I think that's very unfortunate when it comes to media. And it's just, and I think it's, to me, I think it pisses me off when I see it when it comes to kids in their show. Like, I feel like as adults, we're more competent to kind of make decisions, because as kids, they don't know. And so when I see like African American, when I see like there's not a lot of African American kids or like different races being represented in kids' shows, to me, it makes me feel bad, because it's kind of like all they see is white all the time. And so when they grow up, they'd be like, I want to be like her, or I want to be, and then when they see Black, it's like, nah. And I think the other issue is, just because we're pro something, it doesn't mean we have to also be anti. You know what I mean? Like, if I say I'm pro-Black, I'm pro-African, I love every other race too. I'm just proud of my race, and I'm supporting my race. That's how I look at it. But I think when somebody says I'm pro-Black, they'd be like, oh, that means you don't like white people. No, I appreciate you, and I respect it for being you. I'm just going to support my race. That's just it. And I just...
Go ahead. Sorry.
And to me, it's just kind of like, it's just very unfortunate that we always feel like just because we support one thing, that by default, that also means we're against something else. And it's not always like that. Like, we have to be willing to be more open nowadays. And it's, everybody keeps saying they're woke, but not everybody is actually like informative either. Like, they try to act and sound like they just connect with everybody else, but they just, They know not.
Right. And I think you touched on something when you say kids shows. So I had my nieces this weekend, and we binge watched in our pajamas all day. But they watch a show, and I have no clue. They're going to kill me because I don't know the name. But they watch a show, and it was like, I grew up watching a similar show with purple, green, yellow, orange. Like, I don't know if you guys remember Doug, and I was showing them Doug and Cousin Skeeter, and my niece was like, why does he look like that? And I was just like, that was just how it was. I was like, well, you better sit down and watch some Doug. Don't question me. But I think it's crazy because when growing up, you're looking at the colors, but you're not looking at the colors. Right? And in the media and some of the things on their YouTube channels that my nieces follow, they see color, but they don't see it. And it wasn't until I was babysitting and I had a young kid come over and my cousins were there and my sister was there. And she was like, why is your skin like that? And I was like, be diplomatic. Don't get mad at this little girl. Cause she was a white little girl. I was like, don't get mad at her. Cause my parents were the only black people in the neighborhood. So I used to babysit. And I said, well, I'm brown skin. I was like, my skin's brown, or you can say black. And she was like, oh, my skin's pretty. And my cousin ran out of the room. I will never forget this. She ran out of the room and she was like, I was gonna slap that child. And I was like, you can't, because she hasn't been associated with black people to understand, but she's obviously heard that black is bad, right? So it's my job to educate her. So I was like, I'm sorry you feel that way. I was like, but my skin is pretty too. I was like, our skin comes in different shades. I said, when you're out in the sun, you get darker, right? She said, yes. I said, is your skin pretty then? She said, yes. And I was like, so there, dark skin is pretty too. And my cousin was like, you're so patient. And I was like, no, girl, I wanted to slap her too. But this is somebody's child. But I look at the stuff that kids see, and I look at the shows that my nieces watch and how people are purple and green and yellow, and they're not thinking in that light because that's their media. Their subjects are not showing different scales of race. Their subjects are not showing this person is left out because they're that color. It's more everybody purple, green, blue, and they cough. When they cough and sneeze, it all comes out the same color. Zamumafoo, is that another show? Does anybody
remember?
Zamumafoo, something like that. And that was a very... that was a show with like different animals and different puppets. And I remember one of my younger cousins saying, I like the gorilla because he reminds me of, I don't know if it was a gorilla, but he was like, he reminds me of daddy, strong and black, you know? So when he saw black, he thought strong, black, gorilla, husky. So it's crazy because it's what you're around, you know? So we can't be the judges to say, okay, the media is versatile if all we're following is Bob Risky.
That's true.
You know?
I don't think the media is versatile. I think there are certain activists within the media who try to represent everybody, you know, appropriately. I think, you know, if you look at the definition of racism, it has institutional in it, right?
That's true.
And I think all of this is part of the institution. Who at the very top runs a lot of everything in America?
White people.
Exactly. And I'm not... And this is... I think you made a great point. This is not me saying I am against white people. My wife is white. I have no problem with white people. But at the same time, I'm a realist. And I'm looking at it. And so all this is trickling down. And even if you want to look at the age demographic of the white people who run this country, right? They are from a certain generation where... they grew up in segregation. They grew up where unless you were a certain hue or color, you were not acceptable to walk on the same side of the street or drink out of the same water fountain or whatever. And these are the people who are creating all the stuff from a media perspective that we are digesting. And I think there are certain activists, again, who learn how to operate within those, right? And I think like that's why Black Panther was so huge this past year. It's funny, Ali has Owen watch this show on Netflix, and it's a cartoon, straight black family. all different shades. And I walked in one day and I saw that, and I walked out and I just smiled and I was like, that's what I'm talking about. But because the car, even like to the Disney stuff, like you said, it's very interesting that people of color are represented in a negative way as the villain or criminal or thieves or whatever. And that's the reason why, like, when I look at media and I think, you know, it, to an extent, it is getting better. And I think there is some representation, but I think it's only going to really, really change. And we are in a generation of minorities and a generation of people of different color are really going to impact the stuff that our kids are digesting is when they get to the positions of power. And I think, and we're talking about colorism, but I feel like, you know, the big umbrella is racism. It's institutional. It doesn't actually have to be you versus you. It could be the institution is setting you up to perceive certain people as, you know, a certain way. And it just teaches division. It teaches hate. And it says, you're less than, I'm more than. Like Betty said, that little girl said, my skin's pretty. That girl didn't come out the womb thinking my skin was pretty. I mean, that stuff is learned. And when you say learn, people are like, oh, no, I'm not teaching my kid that stuff. You don't have to be teaching your kid that stuff. You turn on the TV, that stuff is pounded in your head subliminally over and over and over and over and over again. So what do you expect the outcome is going to be? I mean, that I And so I don't necessarily think we are represented to the point where it matters, because I think the only Issa Rae was saying this, the only representation that matters is when we are creating our own content for people to digest. Right. And that's where I think where I will measure the change actually to be happening, right?
I think I've seen a lot of change, right? I'm seeing a lot more representation of not just Black people in the media, but like other races as well, right? But, you know, right now I'm talking to my students about culture and communication, and we're talking about the things or the elements or the attributes that that make up how we communicate with other people from other cultures, right? We can only do what we know and what we've learned. So when we go out and we communicate with other people, we're really communicating based on our cultural like filters, right? And the things that we know and whatever perceptual filters we've developed as part of the culture that we grew up in or what we are accustomed to is how we're going to communicate with other people. So there are communication studies that talks about cultural relativism, right? Where you have to just, you know, this is where you're practicing appreciating somebody's culture and, you know, not just grading it on if it's normal or it's not normal, if it's right or wrong or whatever, but just being aware that it's there, applying that cultural sensitivity, right? So I think I'm seeing a little bit of that like show up mm-hmm. here and there in little chunks, but I think you touched on it as well. Because we have people now that are out there that have become more educated and that are creating content that that showcases people that look like us or showcases people that look like the demographics of that community that they are trying to reach. I think that's, you now have the ability to show that to your children so that they grow up loving themselves as well, so that they can stand up and speak out when they do encounter these things. So these kids in a way are a lot, they got it good now, right? Because they have the ability to, yeah. Right. Yeah. They have the ability to really see and love themselves from an early age, yeah, right?
So right.
I've seen a huge change compared to when I grew up versus now. And I think back then it was just, this is how it is, just roll with it type stuff, right? So we never really sat down to think about it, but I think now that we're adults and we're more educated and we're bonding now, right? I think there's a level of us coming back together, right? Yeah. Versus being so individualistic, you know, that individualistic mindset. Like, I think we're almost kind of getting away from it now. It started coming together little by little. And I think now that we're doing that, we're having conversations about this and going, wait a minute, this ain't right. Like, let me think about this. When I grew up, I didn't see nobody that looked like me. Matter of fact, no, they didn't.
Right?
Right? All the shows that we saw, wait.
Oh, yeah, it was the Fresh Prince.
But wait, maybe there was one little black girl somewhere, but we didn't see the, right.
Black American.
Right, exactly.
Where were the
They don't exist. Well,
you didn't want coming to America.
Right. That was the best thing you got.
I do have a question. Do you think white people, and I'm just saying this because I had a crazy experience, a crazy conversation today. Do you think white people understand colorism in other cultures other than what?
I don't really think they do. And I also, you know, I think there is this idea of, it's not even an idea. There's truth behind institutionalized racism, right? Mm-hmm. That's what this country was really built on, yeah. Right? But at the same time, you also can't blame them in a way, because if you think about it, this is technically a white country based on how they've, taking over, right? Yeah. So they're going to create content that's relevant to them.
You know what you know, right?
And what they know, right? Yeah. So I don't think that it's always so, you know, intentional, so to speak. And that is why diversity is so huge. Because if you don't have a diverse group of people creating content at Disney, no one is going to really think, hey, let me include the little black girl or the little Asian girl. It's not going to happen. And this is why most companies sometimes get in trouble with their advertising, because, hey, your primary clientele are black women, yet you don't even show them any love in any of your advertisements. Right. And that,
every McDonald's advertisements of just black people.
Exactly.
Have y'all noticed that?
Well, yep. Because they're catering it to the poor.
Right.
Subliminal messages all the time, and they create stereotypes, which stereotypes in itself is a huge barrier to communication. Right.
Yeah, so I had an experience last year at work, and it was an email that was sent out, and it was very disturbing. I can talk about it now. I can't talk about it. I couldn't talk about it before because I was so taken back, and I was so angry in my blackness. I don't know if you've ever been that way, but an email sent out, and it said, congratulations, these people are now on our executive management team. And the one individual got promoted, got a title change, and got complimented on the great work that they do in the community. Now, the three other Blackies got put on the executive management team, no title change, but we will bring diversity to the table. And we were three different shades. That's also a context. Three different shades. You got your light, medium, and dark, right? And at first, the first time I read it, I was like, okay. The second time I read it, I started getting angry. So I called my mom, I called my dad, and they were like, look at it as a blessing. You know, African parents, they just want you to grow. They just want you to do the best. It's a blessing. Any way it comes, just take it. Just take it. If God hits you on the head, pow, it's a blessing. You know? And I was like, no, but he said that I'm only there because I'm black. I'm filling a quota, not on the work that I did. And I thought to myself, he doesn't understand. He doesn't get it, you know?
They don't understand.
And I thought to myself, do they understand that they also, not only did they pick black women who are the most educated of the group, but they promoted someone who didn't have the education, didn't have the experience, you know? But they didn't promote the three black women who held degrees. Right. Collectively, we hold about 10 degrees. Okay? And I just felt so angry. And then it was crazy because the way he talked to us, it was based on, I felt like it was based on our color.
We just got
to
do this because,
you know, and I thought to myself, okay, maybe I'm just hypersensitive, you know, but I feel like he talks to me a different shade than he talks to you.
That's crazy.
You know?
50 Shades of Brown.
And you know, I can turn on the customer service white girl any moment. I'd be like, "Hi, my name is Betty. I'm here today to just give you this quick proposal. Thank you for all coming here." And then I can get real hood on you real quick. And then I can get African. So I had to figure out my balance. I was like, "How do I deal
Which Betty
with this?
Would you like to see today?"
Like, for real.
Catch me outside. But I felt like, you know, I was so angry and I was so hurt by it. But then I also realized the way he approached and talked to every one of us. Yeah. And I was like, he understands cultural, like he understands colorism. He understands that there's levels to it, but he also understands who went to a white school, who went to a black school, who went to HBCU, who got these degrees. And so he was playing the game and I was chucking and jiving because my parents were like, "Take it." So I was over there doing the dance, but I just, for the longest time, I felt so, so oppressed because I was sitting, I had a seat at the table, but only because of the color of my skin. And then when we sit down, when we pick seats in the boardroom, it's like white people on one side and you got your three token black girls.
Or you got
lined
the one
up in shade.
Just sitting there looking
weird.
For the
last couple of meetings, I've been by myself. I didn't like that. But
it's interesting. No, I was going to say, it was interesting about your question that like America is considered a melting pot of the world. But we're not represented in nothing. Like it's because, like, Asia, we know Africa, we know Europe, that's like your home. We know, like, South America is like, and it's kind of like America's like, oh, America's like the land of the free, you know what I mean? And it's, to me, I saw America in the beginning as the melting pot. It truly is. And so, but it's kind of like, in everything that we do, though, it's not. So it's kind of like, how are you, like, marketing the fact that this is home for everybody, everybody's united, everybody's diverse, but it's not in everything that we do. Yeah. And I think, me personally, like, I feel like white, you know what I mean, white race, that they're trying to stay in power because they know that eventually diversity is going to take over.
The
like,
minority.
And they know that, like, our DNA is going to empower, like, it's going to change theirs. You feel me? Like, and seeing how there's so much, like, interracial relationships nowadays, like, there's not going to be just a one race at a certain point. At a certain point in the history, in the future, like, we're going to have so many mixed kids that you can't just say, "I'm white." I'm white and Hispanic and Asian or something.
Yeah.
So, and I feel like they're doing as much as they can to force their particular race to stay.
Can you blame them?
I can't. I understand.
Survival.
You know what's interesting? So your question was, do you believe that white people, you know, understand colorism? Mm-hmm. I think I'm not going to paint a broad brush. I'm not going to say every white person does. Mm-hmm. But I think for the most part, I'll say women do. White women do.
Yes.
I mean, you see it in the way that they dress and how medias have changed the way that they look and everything with, like, BBLs and looking with the bigger lips, the darker skin. Darker hair.
Kardashian.
Tanning people. Tanning. That's what I wanted us to get to.
No, but for real, like it's tanning is the funniest thing to me.
Yes, it is.
I mean, you don't want to be me, but you want to be me. You know what I'm saying? It's like you go to the beach, you see all these people out there laying in the sun trying to get darker. Why are you trying to get darker?
But my thing is, Patricia Albright is a vlogger, a YouTuber, and I've been following her for years, and she's a black woman who went to a tanning. She just wanted the experience because her skin was kind of blotchy, and she wanted an even tone. And she's, of course, in the UK, and she went to go tanning, and I said, me. Would I ever go in a tanning bed? Me, I don't like close situations. I don't want anything on my skin that wasn't made from God's earth. So, but she went into it and she was like, "I love it. You know, I really like it. It's all right. It's, you know, my skin is smooth. It has a good tone.
This is British Betty."
Yeah, this is British Betty. Right. So it's gotten a good tone. I'm really liking it. And she was like super excited. So I sent the video to one of my friends. She's Kenyan. I said, "Eva, would you go and tan?" She was like, "Please remove this trash from my business." But it's crazy to me because there are black people that tan. There are black people who are like, my skin, my complexion. So we all identify on different levels. Some want a bleach and some want a tan.
I mean, I like summertime because, you know, I like being by the pool all day because when you're a few shades darker, your clothes look better on you. Like, yeah, you really do. I can wear bright orange. Like, the colors be popping. Let me tell you.
You get my sister. Like,
when the sun kisses the glow, you, it'd be right? Like, hey. The glow. Right, exactly. But so I get it. That's why they do
but
it.
But you know, the African sun is different than the American sun. It burns
Please
differently.
Please let them know.
It burns they don't differently. Know. It burns it. When you're black, you're black. But you know, that was something that my parents always used to say. Yeah. They said, you can always tell when you've come from Sierra Leone and when you've come from London. Because the sun is two different shades.
That's true. That's also why we don't use sunscreen as black people.
Yes.
My wife tries to get me to use sunscreen.
I'd be like,
I just told her, I said, why? Look.
I mean, do we really have to?
No, I've never used it in my life.
I mean, like my buddy, people. Let's think about it.
Betty just said that sun ain't, that sun's different.
It is different. No, the American sun burns harder.
I was
sunburned
before. Yeah, and where? Where?
Here. Here. But the American sun burns differently.
Yeah.
This America fun, really? I don't know.
That's why we need sunscreen.
We need sunscreen in America. Go back home.
I like the
There's no sunscreen in Africa. The sun's good there.
Just turned it up there like...
Right. We don't get the harmful part.
It's not good. It's not good. Don't do it. Don't do it.
That is hilarious.
That metal bitch is dirty.
Boy, that beach is dirty.
It's dirty.
All right. So, in closing, what do you want people to know about the complexities of complexion in Africa and for African first gens?
I think respect your color. Respect your color, embrace your color, empower your color. I mean, if they're going to put you in a category, live it up in that category. I think, but don't only divide yourselves too. Understand, yeah, there's different contexts. When I sat next to Mina, I'm not going to lie, I was like, Ethiopian? What about my business? But I think there is a level of understanding to be comfortable in your skin and to embrace others who are comfortable in their skin. I think when we are talking about colorism, especially when I am dealing with people who don't understand colorism, it's different than when I'm sitting at a table with my brothers and sisters. Right? Because they know it. They've been through the struggle. So I have to use my words wisely, but I also have to let them know, like, hey, you know, we're all the same people. We're all the same people, just come in different shades, just different flavors. And you have to accept that.
Yeah, you know, learning to, you know, be comfortable in my own skin, I feel like I had to do that at a very young age. And it was probably when I was like in sixth grade, like I said, when you become more aware, you're looking at yourself, and and I am darker than most people in general. I'm not the darkest. I'm not at the very end of the, but I'm darker than most people, and I think for a good period of time it bothered me, right? Because I mean, you get teased about it, jokes about it, your friends would say make comments about it. Then it became one of those things. I was like, you know, why does it bother me? I mean, and I'm not even saying that to sound cliche about it. I was like, it's nothing I can change. I can't change it. And I feel like the more I decide that I don't want to be this, the more unhappy I'll be in my own skin. So it just got to the point where I just said, I'm dark. I'm super dark. But, oh, well, it is what it is. I mean, and a lot of me was kind of like, it's not going to stop me from doing whatever it is I want to do still. And that's been my mindset for a lot of things. And we were talking earlier, you and I, BK, you know, my goal is to provide representation in corporate America. That is my goal today, wherever it is, because I understand the game. I understand that sometimes I might just fit a quota. I understand that sometimes I may be passed on because I'm maybe a darker shade than the person that may... Someone may perceive to be better looking or more favorable, aesthetically favorably pleasing. But my goal is to not let that stop me. My goal is because I want the next kid who comes from Ghana, Nigeria, Sierra Leone, Ivory Coast, wherever it is, to look at me and say, that didn't stop him. And he didn't have to cop out and bleach his skin or do this or do that. No, he made it still. And so And I've always had that in the back of my mind. I've always said, decided I wanted to be a role model. And I think at the end of the day, color is color. I'm black. It happens to be the color I am, but it's not who I am at the end of the day.
That's real.
Yeah.
That's real. I appreciate you for inviting us today. And one thing I would say is that how you feeling about yourself is how everybody else is feeling.
Yep.
And whether you like it or not, like, at the same time, how you perceive yourself is also how others will perceive you. Mm. Like, to me, like, honestly, I don't think I've ever dealt with racism, because I was like, I love you no matter what. I don't care if I'm with white people or Hispanics. And they were just like, they looked at me as BK, you are BK. Like, see. And so I was like, how you perceive yourself? He's like, oh, I think I'm too light, maybe I'm too dark. People will sense that, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how they're going to represent you. And I say, and I would say that, I know we all kind of like hit on the same point, like, truly love yourself, because, I mean, on a spiritual level itself, it's like, this is exactly how God made me. And he made me perfect because he made me in his image. And that's how I look at it. And so that means if he made no faults, ain't no way I should be retrying to draw his image. And I know that if I love myself, then by in return, I'll also not just be an example for myself, but for everybody else to also truly love themselves. Because, so that's what I would say. Truly love yourself.
Yeah, confidence, man. Yeah. I think confidence breeds confidence. I think people want to be around confident people mm-hmm. at the end of the day. And you're absolutely right. I feel like if people sense insecurity about how you feel about how you look and your skin color and everything, I mean, that people will use that and they will hurt you with mm-hmm. it. But if you are confident, you will attract confidence. Like, people will just want to be with you and around you regardless of how light or dark you are, right? Yes, sir. That's as simple as good. So I absolutely agree with that statement.
I would say that I think I want everyone to just be aware that this is a thing. If you see it happening, we should all stand up and speak on it and not just let it go. Just, you know, I mean, I think we are so just accepting of it to where we're just like, okay, well, this person's bleaching their skin, so whatever. But I don't think that we should do that anymore, because we know that it is affecting our community and our country, Africa, right, as a whole. So I think we should do our parts going forward to make sure that we help each other out. And yeah, sometimes we can throw jokes out there and things like that, but just be aware of how it's affecting somebody and how your words are so powerful. And if it's colonialism that has stemmed, if this stemmed from colonialism, we are more educated now. We are more aware of it. So let's just stop, right? We have to do our part. I think that's really what I would like to say.
So we can't call you light-skinned anymore.
I'm not light-skinned.
When I be describing me, I'll be like, this curly-haired chick.
I've never been light-skinned. I'm brown.
The gag is, I ain't light-skinned.
Right. I'm brown. I'm brown.
Yay, mm-hmm. Thank you, everyone, for coming.
Appreciate you.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find us. We can also be found on SoundCloud and wherever else you get your podcasts. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FirstGens. Now that's the number one, STGENS. Plus, you can get extra content on our website, firstgenspodcast.com. First Gens was created by Perrine DeShield, my wonderful cousin, and the show is co-hosted by Perrine and myself, Sky Wilson. All music heard in this episode was created by Nick Stubblefield, who is our amazing musical composer. Thank you to our roundtable crew. First Gens is a proud member of Huga, an amazing co-working space based out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for all your love and support. That's it.